Welcome to The Word at First Press Church of Arlington Heights. The sermon is based on Scripture to help us see how God was at work in the lives of the faithful in their time and how God is at work now in our lives on our journey of faith. I invite you to listen for how God's Word might be speaking to you today.
Our first Scripture reading is from Matthew, the third chapter, verses 13 through 16. Hear now these words. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And then when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading for this morning comes from Paul's letter to the people in Galatia. This letter is noteworthy because it is actually one of the harshest of all of Paul's letters. When he opens the letter to these people, he doesn't greet them with warm words, and instead, he really launches into very harsh criticisms of their community. But in the midst of that harsh letter are these words from Paul's letter to Galatians, chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. Listen to God's word. "For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Mornings when we have baptisms are always so special. But this morning feels especially significant because on the same morning when we are recognizing God's love and nurture in the life of Audrey, who was born just in February of this year, and we're also celebrating the nurturance that this church community will offer her throughout her life, we are also celebrating the love of God that has been shown to our members who turned 90 this year, and the love and comfort that this congregation has offered those people throughout their journeys of faith thus far. When I heard that we were going to have both a baptism on Sunday and celebrate our 90th birthdays on the same morning, I was thrilled. Because while these two things might not seem like they would naturally go together, I think that when you put them together, they actually bring forth something that is very important for all of us, no matter how old we are, no matter where we are on our journey of faith, about baptism. And to get at what that kind of important lesson that might not seem obvious on the surface is all about, I want to just take a moment and walk us through some of the foundational elements about what we believe about baptism here in our church. And it's my hope that no matter where you are in your journey of faith, this will help you see something fresh and important for you about your own baptism. In the Presbyterian Church and in lots of other Protestant denominations, we believe that baptism is a visible sign of God's invisible grace. And we also believe that baptism is a reminder for us of our connection to Jesus through his life, death, and resurrection. Baptism is this way that we remember that each of us has this possibility for a new life in Christ, and that we are able to all find new life at any given moment when we die to old ways of being and moving in the world and are born to new ways of being through God's love. Now, if you are familiar with other denominations, you might know that something that makes Presbyterians a little bit different than other Christians, like Baptist Christians, is we do choose to baptize infants like we just did. In the Presbyterian Church, we choose to baptize infants for a very important reason. We believe that baptism is a sign that God's grace claims us before we can claim it ourselves. In other words, we are embraced by God's love, each of us, even if we don't understand what that actually means, and even if we choose not to accept that love and that grace in our own lives. Now, if you heard that explanation from me just now and you thought to yourself, God, I have no idea what that means whatsoever, I would completely understand. Because what you have to know is that if you were to go to seminary, you would find that there are entire classes just on that topic, the topic of baptism and God's grace. And you might sit in one of those classes for an entire semester, read every book and every word in the Bible about what baptism is, and it still might not make a lot of sense to you. It's something that just doesn't always click for people. But the best way that I know how to explain what this idea of God's grace through baptism is we believe that there is nothing we have to do, nothing any of you here or anywhere else has to do to earn or to initiate God's grace in our lives. It is always there for us, no matter who we are, no matter where we go or what we do. We believe that God's love and God's grace is part of us, and we don't have to do anything for that love to exist in our lives or in the life of anyone else for that matter. So baptism is a way that we show that whether we are 9 months old, like Audrey, or 90 years old, like Carol, Dawn, Dora, Helen, and Jerry, there has never been a single moment in any of our lives when we were not claimed by God's love and God's grace, and where God's grace wavered in our lives. None of us have ever had a moment in our lives where God's love for us wavered or changed due to anything we did or anything we didn't do. Now, as complicated as this notion of grace might be, I consider this understanding of how God's love works in our lives to be one of the most meaningful aspects of our faith, especially in the world that we live in today. There are so many ways that our world lets us know, in ways that are both direct and very indirect, that our entire worth as human beings is really tied to our abilities and our achievements. And so in a world like that, I just can't imagine anything more powerful than knowing that whatever gets done or whatever gets left undone, God's grace will always claim us regardless of what we do, regardless of our achievements and failures. And yet, as powerful and transformative as this reality is, I actually think it can be one of the most challenging truths for any of us to truly embrace and feel in our hearts. And I really believe that one of the reasons why this is so challenging is that there is so much in our world that contradicts this message. Trying to escape messages in our culture that tell us we're not good enough, or that tell us that if we just changed some small part of us, then we might finally be acceptable. Trying to escape or protect ourselves from those messages is like trying to protect ourselves from air pollution by not breathing. It's just not possible. We have to breathe. These messages are all around us, and there's just no way to escape them. And so what I think that means for us, it can feel a little bit contradictory. Even though there's nothing we have to do to initiate God's love and grace, to truly experience what this means for our lives and how we actually feel it and are changed by it, we have to put some effort in. Ideally, God's grace will bring forth a human response in us, but it requires that we do some practice. We have to work actively to dive in to what baptism means for our life. And that means that there's actually no age when suddenly everything will click in our minds and our hearts, and we will understand God's every aspect of love in our own lives. This is a lifelong journey, and ideally, as we grow and mature and we gain more experience, we do find that we journey deeper into God's love and into God's heart each day. But I think that in order to do that, in order to begin that process, we have to actually explore what baptism means for us. And I think that just knowing this intellectually, it doesn't necessarily express the kind of effort that this requires us. So I want to give you an example that I think will help us to understand what this process of diving into what God's love and grace actually means for our life, and the kind of transformation that it really has the potential to bring about in each of us. The example that I want to give to you is from a film that came out on Netflix in 2020. It's called My Octopus Teacher. This film is about a documentary filmmaker and a father whose name is Craig Foster. He grew up living on the Western Cape of South Africa, and he began his career as a documentary filmmaker by studying these fascinating people who lived in the Kalahari Desert that he describes as trackers. They are this tribe that would go around in the desert, and they paid attention to the subtlest sorts of things in their environment, one small scuff that they saw in the sand. And by looking at that one subtle detail, they could determine what animals had gone through that little bit of sand and why they might be going in that direction. And then they were ultimately able to continue to follow that and find those animals for whatever reasons they needed, either to get food for themselves or to keep themselves safe. After years of grueling work in this field, though, Craig started to feel very exhausted. He was overwhelmed and he started to have trouble sleeping. He got sick from all the pressure, and he was just plain burned out after a certain point. So it felt for him like his entire life and being was just falling apart. This period of feeling so burned out and exhausted just so happened to coincide with a time in the life of his family when they really needed him. Craig had a young son named Tom who was desperate to connect with his dad. And so Craig was really trying desperately to find some way to rekindle the spark within him that had gone out. In the midst of all of this, he decided that maybe what would help him would be to return to a place from his earliest and most powerful childhood memories, the waters of the African coast. This place where he grew up was an amazing body of water with tons of miraculous life. And right there was something known as the Great African Kelp Forest. Going back to those waters and that kelp forest, he ended up deciding that he was going to swim in the waters that had a certain magical quality to him when he was a child. And he ended up venturing out and going swimming there every day. This kelp forest where Craig went to swim was almost like entering a completely different world to him. But I think it's worth noting for us that these waters were not gentle. It wasn't like going to Lake Michigan or like a beach on the East Coast. The waters of the Great African Kelp Forest are some of the most forceful in the world that scientists know about. And beyond that, the waters tend to be about 46 degrees Fahrenheit. So very cold, not necessarily the sort of thing that your body will want you to go and swim in every day. But despite this cold, and despite the forcefulness, Craig decided that when he went out for his swims every day, he would do so without a wetsuit and without an oxygen tank, so that he could really feel that he was a part of that place. Sure enough, after just a few weeks, the cold no longer bothered him, and he actually started to feel that the burdens that were weighing so heavily on him were beginning to lift. Craig was completely intrigued by so many aspects of life in the kelp forest. He described the creatures that he saw there as stranger than the strangest science fiction. And yet, what he learned by observing wildlife in the forest was how very similar humankind was to these animals that seemed so otherworldly. The biggest shift, of course, came when Craig encountered an octopus who lived in the kelp forest. Something about her just took his breath away. He was captivated. And after following her for several hours one day, he wondered, what would happen if he chose to follow that same octopus through the kelp forests every day? He decided he would do it, and this choice led him on an incredible journey. Without giving any spoilers for any of you who haven't seen the film, Craig watched this octopus live through some of the most incredible moments of her life. These were moments where she used her instincts to keep herself safe from predators that were violently seeking her out. And he witnessed just how very sensitive she was after he unintentionally scared her and she no longer would go to the same places each day. He ended up using the tracking skills that he had observed in the Kalahari Desert many years before to find her and to rebuild that trust that he had lost by scaring her. But in addition to those amazing moments, he also had a front seat for some of the scarier moments of her life, as different creatures sought her out to try and eat her for their food, and she only narrowly escaped being hunted and harmed. As Craig watched these high moments and low moments unfold each day opening to new mysteries of what she would do, he was completely intrigued, and he felt himself changing too. As he watched this octopus get past incredible and unimaginable challenges, like losing her arm in a shark attack and having to grow it back herself after not eating for several weeks at a time to preserve her strength, he felt that he was able suddenly to get past some of the more significant challenges in his own life. Suddenly, he had a much greater respect for all living creatures, including the human beings in his life. And he felt a deep sense of connection to everyone and everything around him. His relationships on Earth, not just in the water, started to change. And most notably, his connection with his young son began to really heal. In one of the most beautiful moments of the documentary to me, Craig described that returning to the waters every day forced him to realize that he was not just a visitor in the ocean or an outsider to its ecosystem. Going back there each and every day forced him to see that he was part of that place. And knowing that he was part of everything there made a huge difference for him. It helped him to see that the creatures there, the octopus and all of the fish and wildlife there, were not creatures that were alien to him, but instead were creatures very much like himself. Now, if you haven't seen My Octopus Teacher, you can probably tell I highly, highly recommend it. I've been showing it to our high school students during youth group, and they are completely captivated by every scene, which I have to say is such a gift to witness. But the reason I offer Craig Foster's experience as an example is that I actually really believe that this sort of practice of diving into the waters each and every day, it is connected to what baptism means for all of us. Many of us here today, including myself, were baptized when we were just a few months old. And so our baptism, it can feel like it's something that is completely removed from our lives. And of course, regardless of whether we think about what baptism means for our lives, it does not change the fact that God's love and God's grace has claimed us and is part of our lives. But what I think we all need to understand about the truth of our baptism is that actually embracing what this love and what this grace means for us in our lives, it requires us to dive in to what baptism means for us each and every day. Now, I don't mean that we have to all go take a trip to the coast of Africa and swim in freezing kelp forests there, although that would be fun. I mean, actually, that we have to be very diligent and deliberate, like Craig Foster was. We have to practice by entering into experiences that might feel like they are beyond our comfort zone or beyond what we think we can handle. At first, going into these uncertain moments, these things that are beyond our comfort zone, it might feel like we're entering into an entirely different world. But I think that by continuing to dive in, by continuing to put ourselves in this vulnerable position, each of us will not only be transformed by the experience of finding that we can go places we never thought we could, but we'll also find there a greater depth of God's love and God's grace in our own hearts, and perhaps even in the hearts of those we encounter wherever we choose to go. Now, if you are having trouble bringing to mind what this might look like for you, I want you to know that diving into what baptism means for us, it will look different for every person. It might, for example, mean taking a really good, long look at the reality of a situation that you have been trying hard to avoid. It might mean that you find yourself needing to make an honest apology to someone you've hurt, and that person might even be yourself. It might mean doing something that you have been afraid to do, or simply taking time to sit in silence with God and feel what God's presence is like for you at any given moment. No matter what, truly living into what God's grace means for us, it does require each of us to dive in every day, and by doing so, realize that we are not visitors in this place, disconnected from one another. We are all connected to one another through God's love, which unites us across all differences in the way that Paul spoke of in our scripture from Galatians. As I mentioned earlier, this is one of the harshest scripture in the entire New Testament if we look at the whole of Paul's letter to Galatians. The people in Galatia, they had bitter disagreements with one another. They could not seem to agree on anything about how they each were to live out their faith. And their bitter fights were leading to extreme divisions among Christians there. I would imagine that for many of us here today, we have an experience that can feel a little bit like this. An area of our life where we feel extremely divided against perhaps people that we once agreed with or people that we want desperately to connect with. As Paul said, God's love and grace ensures that we are all children of God in Christ, and that in our baptism, each of us are clothed in God's grace. And so it's my prayer that no matter what age you are, you will know that you can dive into what baptism means for you, and you can begin that movement through any difficulty, discovering that God's grace and love will be there to support you no matter where you go and no matter what you do, and that it will unite you with people that you never thought you could connect with before. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about the ministries and mission of First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, Illinois, please visit firstpresah.org. where you can get information about our services and programs, including times and directions, and communicate with us about a prayer request, any questions you have, or how you might like to get involved.